Okay, so I'm happy to present to introduce the presenter of today's topic. It's His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. He doesn't need to be introduced to Russian-speaking audience. He's well known, and I just wanted to say a few words about him first. He's a very scholarly devotee. Extremely scholarly, knows many languages, Hindi, Bengali, Sanskrit, and he's definitely an author, a prolific author of many, many books, notably the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. It's a very significant contribution to the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Which Maharaj did, working laboriously for many, many years. But I also wanted to say that the idea of this undertaking of this Bhaktivedanta University is, of course, to understand Prabhupada's position on certain very important issues, but also to imbibe Srila Prabhupada's mood. How it was reflected in his different followers and his different disciples. So different followers and disciples of Srila Prabhupada are like different cuts of a diamond, and they reflect different sides of his personality, different dimensions of his personality. Therefore, it's very important for us to be listening very carefully to different disciples and trying to see how they reflect the mood and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and how loyal they are, because ultimately that's what we want to achieve, to become loyal and very chaste followers of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj is known for his preaching in these lines. He is also very concerned about the continuity of our tradition and keeping it as it is without any deviations. And his topic today will be very important. It's somewhat controversial topic among Vaishnavas. We heard presentation almost on the same topic, not exactly, but on a similar topic by Devamrita Maharaj last Friday. And today, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, will talk about the position of Srila Prabhupada on Raganuga Sadhana, how Srila Prabhupada takes this issue and how he views how we should practice Raganuga Sadhana. And definitely there are many different views even among the followers of Srila Prabhupada about this, but Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, he recently wrote a very well-researched paper where he describes this on the basis of, strictly on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and he's going to share his research with us today. So that's my short introduction, and I'm very happy to give the whatever the Zoom rights to speak to Bhakti Vikas Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. What was the subject of Devamrita Maharaj's talk?
Devamrita Maharaj was talking about correlation and a relationship between the internal and external mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how it was reflected in Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's, how Srila Prabhupada was imbibing preaching mood and at the same time internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cultivating the spirit of the Vraja Bhakti. So that was his presentation.
All right. Am I seeing Danada Maharaj? Or is it someone who looks like Danada? I think not, because he would have responded. No, okay. someone looks like Danada Maharaj. All right. Danada Maharaj, of course, is very well learned, and
he also wrote a paper on the subject.
All right, so let me begin. Time limit?
Well, we usually have presentation for 1.5 hours and then have half an hour for questions. If you finish earlier, it's fine, but please keep some time for questions.
Okay. Om Agyanatim Irandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shatiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim. Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atath Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Usually when one is introduced so nicely, it's common among Vaishnavas to introduce another nicely. We have a nice culture. Then the response comes, and I'm giving the response saying, well, I'm very honored to be invited to speak here, but actually it's a fact. I'm not just saying it as a formality. I'm very honored to speak, first of all, among all of you. Goswami Maharaj told me that the average period in Krishna consciousness of the participants is 26 years. So we have a very high level group of devotees listening to myself today. And also the speakers that have spoken before me are very high level. And I thank Goswami Maharaj and others who are organizing this initiative. It's maybe unique in the ISKCON world that education initiative, particularly for more senior devotees. It's the equivalent of adult education within ISKCON. Most of ISKCON's education is adult education, but here we're talking about devotees who have been many years in Krishna consciousness. And also, as Goswami Maharaj said, introducing and giving the chance to hear various disciples of Srila Prabhupada with their understanding and realizations of Srila Prabhupada. You may wonder why I, Bhaktivikas Swami, am speaking on Raghunuga Bhakti. You might think, well, that's not the kind of thing that Bhaktivikas Swami talks about, is it? I would be more expected maybe to speak on Varnashram or some what we might call more basic topic. And certainly, Srila Prabhupada, if we take the volume of his talks and writings, he spoke much more about Varnashram Dharma than he did about Raghunuga Bhakti. Banu Maharaj has already covered that topic in this series of talks. Bhaktivedanta Goswami asked me initially to speak on the topic of the fall or non-fall of the jiva, the origin or non-origin of the jiva. It's difficult even to say even to frame the topic. But I replied that it's a very, it remains a controversial topic. There are various takes on it. And I myself, although I accept the official GPC position, and I don't accept it just because it is the official GPC position, but because I feel it's right. But also, I haven't studied the topic very deeply, because even when the controversy first came up in ISKCON so many years ago, my understanding about that was, as I didn't really need to study it deeply to get the feeling of what Srila Prabhupada had said about it. So I didn't want to speak on that topic. And then I suggested talking on Raga Anuga Bhakti. It was my suggestion. I've been writing a book over the last few years about Srila Prabhupada and his mood and his mission and various topics. It could be a practically unlimited book. It's run into several hundred pages. And among the essays I've written for that book is one which, in a rough form, I sent to Goswami Maharaj about Raga Anuga Bhakti. I was just working on that at the time. So I thought that would be a sort of, as I've been churning that in my mind, I suggested I could speak. So let me speak on that. When we in ISKCON or outside of ISKCON speak, when we discuss about Raga Anuga Bhakti, we usually think of the writings of the previous acharyas, maybe more than what Srila Prabhupada wrote. One of my godbrothers, Uttama Shloka Prabhu, he wrote a book encouraging devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time to go ahead, get into Raga Anuga Bhakti, hardly quoting Srila Prabhupada at all, and quoting extensively, as you can expect if at all you've studied this subject, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Govinda Lilamrita, and Rupa Goswami, and so on. But the book I've been writing is about specifically about Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and although it would be a great subject to compare Srila Prabhupada's teachings and to link it back to the sources of the previous acharyas on the subject of Raga Anuga Bhakti, my essay on this and the presentation which I will give now is exclusively based on what Srila Prabhupada wrote and said and did. Actually, so many books, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they were, so to speak, undiscovered within ISKCON. It was a major, if we see there's a, within the universities, there is a topic of study called the history of ideas. So if we're to study the history of ideas within ISKCON, we'll find that a major shift, is that the word, or a major transition, or a major portal was opened with the translation of many of the previous acharyas' writings, from mostly from Sanskrit, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's from Bengali also, by Kushakrata Prabhu. He translated into English, and our devotees became aware practically for the first time. Of course, they knew these books existed, but what the contents are, they became aware of that, and that spiked interest in that. Already some devotees who were introduced to Krishna consciousness, devotees from the West, from ISKCON, had been associating with Babaji's in Radha Kund, which Srila Prabhupada very much discouraged. So some idea of those topics were already floating around a little bit. Myself, from my early time in Krishna, well, fairly early in Krishna consciousness, I was in Bangladesh, where the whole Vaishnav culture there is very much based on Radha Krishna Leela and knowledge of so many intimate Leelas were probably not so much nowadays, were fairly well known among the Vaishnavas there. Also, the influence of Narayan Maharaj later on, Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, also brought the topic of Raganuga Bhakti very much to the forefront. I remember hearing him at the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, addressing the completely packed temple and saying openly to the devotees, which was quite bold, you could say, that now some of you should start to cultivate Raga Anuga Bhakti. But actually, even some of the earliest books that Srila Prabhupada translated, they have these topics. Easy Journey to Other Planets was the first book that Srila Prabhupada published, and then he had the first canto of Bhagavatam. And of course, right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, the seed of higher topics is there, right in the very first verse, if we take, well, not the way that Srila Prabhupada presented it. I have to apologize for the terminology, because definitely the first verse of Bhagavatam is the highest topic, but there are different ways to present it also. From the third verse of the Bhagavatam, we are encouraged to drink the rasa. The rasika bhaktas are encouraged to drink the rasa. But apart from that, Srila Prabhupada translated Krishna Book, one of his very first publications, with all the rasa lila and vastraharan lila and so on. And Nectar of Devotion was one of Srila Prabhupada's first published books, in which a large part of the book is, as the title suggests, it's about rasa, and especially Vraja Bhakti Rasa. That is the topic of the book. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in summary, Srila Prabhupada has presented many intimate topics as Lord Chaitanya presented them to his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, he came to give what? What is his ultimate gift? He gave us the Maha Mantra, he gave us ISKCON, he gave us Prasadam, he gave us the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, he gave so many gifts. What is his ultimate gift? His ultimate gift must be the same as the ultimate gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because clearly Srila Prabhupada is that great devotee who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deputed to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, Priti Vite Ache Joto Nagaradi Gram Savatra Pracha Hoibe Moranam. In every town and village on the earth, my name will be preached. Clearly, Srila Prabhupada is the emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking of when he said those words. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the holy names and prasadam and Bhagavad Gita and so many things. But as you must have heard last week from His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj, and as I hope you must all be aware, having spent so many years studying Srila Prabhupada's books, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, what he came to give is stated in a very important verse right at the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In anarpita chirin chirat karunya vatirno kalo samapyato manuto jvala rasang svabhakti shriyam. Hari purita sundara duty karamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuritu vashati nandanaha. If you don't know what this verse is, I urge all of you as being senior devotees to look it up. It's right there in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I believe it's, what is it, the fourth verse? And memorize it and meditate on its importance. It's the translation, I don't have it printed out here, the Srila Prabhupada's translation. It's a benedictory verse in which Rupa Goswami first and then later Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami benedicts his audience. May Shachi Nandana be manifest within the core of your heart. And that Sachinandana Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as he who came after a very long time to give that which had, he came within the Kali Yuga, the worst of all the ages, to give that which had not been given before, the highest, most resplendent bhakti rasa or devotion to himself. He came to give unatojvala rasang svabhakti shriyam, the treasure of the highest devotion to himself. So this, as is unpacked later in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal the topics of the gopis' love for Krishna, Krishna's love for the gopis, and especially of Radha Krishna. So this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give, which we might wonder about that, because it might not seem that if we see the general teachings of Srila Prabhupada. But then we find within Srila Prabhupada's book some statements such as the following, from the following I'm going to read from the first ever songbook in English, Vaishnava songbook in English, that was presented by Achyutananda Swami at Songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. And within that, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a comment in which he stated, our Krishna consciousness movement is how to become one of the gopi jana, one of the gopis. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enable us to approach Radha Krishna and associate with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance, in other words, Rasa Leela. Within his Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada wrote, and remember, this Krishna book is distributed en masse to the public all over the world. Srila Prabhupada wrote, those who are in the disciplic succession of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel separation from Krishna, worship his transcendental form, and discuss his transcendental teachings, his pastimes, his qualities, his entourage, and his association. That will enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Those in the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a transcendental literary work entitled Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is full with Krishna's pastimes. Exalted devotees can remain absorbed in Krishna thought by reading such books. So definitely Srila Prabhupada has given pointers towards that. And therefore we can say that ISKCON is meant for Raganuga Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, he is the representative of all the previous acharyas. His purpose in establishing ISKCON is to present the teachings and the gifts of the previous acharyas, which is to bring everyone to the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, as taught and exemplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "This movement is meant for the Paramahamsas, who are completely free from all jealousy." Paramam Nirmat Saranam. Srila Prabhupada himself was clearly a Paramahamsa absorbed in Vraja Bhakti. He was very much attached to the land of Vrindavan. We find Srila Prabhupada in 1966 in New York City openly speaking of his feelings of separation from Vrindavan. "Then why have I come here?" he says. "It is my duty, ordered by my spiritual master." But his feelings for Vrindavan, his feelings are for Vrindavan. He resided at the Radha Damodar temple in the courtyard where there's the bhajan and samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, in the place which he calls his eternal residence, the place of Rupa Goswami and other Jiva Goswami and other acharyas there. And according to various sources, while he was there, he often sang the kirtan of Narottam Das, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, which expresses the highest aspirations of Gaurya Vaishnavas in Madhurya Rasa. There's no record of him singing it after he came to the West or even quoting it, but he did approve its being included in that first ISKCON songbook, which I just referred to, that was published in 1974. Yeah. He, from the very beginning of his ministration to the West, Srila Prabhupada encouraged even new devotees. And when we look back now, we think the devotees in the beginning times are very, very raw. They didn't know much about anything. I just read that when Mukunda Prabhu at the time came to the West Coast and met Samuel Spearstra, later to be Shama Sundar, he said, "Well, Swamiji asked us to open a temple in the West Coast." And Samuel Spearstra, later to be Shama Sundar, said, "What's a temple?" And Mukunda, in all seriousness, said, "It's a storefront painted white." So you can see the devotees, they didn't really know very much at all. But Srila Prabhupada encouraged even new devotees and even hippies to develop feelings for Krishna. He spoke to them and encouraged them in such a way to encourage their feelings for Krishna, which are, of course, the natural proclivity of the soul is to love Krishna. Srila Prabhupada incessantly taught, either directly or indirectly, and it was absolutely pulsating in his whole mood and in every line of his books, to cultivate devotion to Krishna with the spirit of ahaitukya pratihata anyabhilashita shunyam, selfless devotion to Krishna, 24 hours, no holidays, constant devotion to Krishna without any personal motive or any other motive except to please Krishna. This is what Srila Prabhupada inculcated in his followers. So Srila Prabhupada certainly gave so many rules and regulations of devotional service, and I'll be speaking more about that a little later. But at the same time, he always encouraged feelings for Krishna with the idea that the feelings for Krishna, which we may have even in a sentimental or very primary stage by following the process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada gave it, which is following all the previous acharyas, that will help us to develop pure feelings of love for Krishna. Now, one incident happened in 1976, which we're talking about the history of ideas within ISKCON, and I haven't studied it very deeply. It could be studied much more. My research in making this book has been largely from texts rather than doing interviews as well. But it seems to me that there was an incident which became known as the Gopi Bhava, the incident of the Gopi Bhava Club, as it's sarcastically called, which, well, let me tell you what happened. If you don't know, you may know. What happened was Srila Prabhupada had arrived in Los Angeles. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been published recently. I was allowed to join ISKCON in 1975. And when I joined, most of the Chaitanya Charitamrita was not available. But then all of a sudden, because Srila Prabhupada had made this marathon, 2 months, so many, 18 books have to be published, among which 16 of those volumes were those of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all of a sudden, devotees had access to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now they already had the basic teachings within the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of a sudden, they have so much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relishing the bliss of the gopis' love for Krishna. And therein also is recommended that one should worship Krishna in a manner following the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Aishraja Gyana Bine. If one worships Krishna in a mood of opulence, then he can't attain Bhajileho Napai Brajendra Nandane. One cannot attain Krishna in Vrindavan. So what had happened was a group of Srila Prabhupada's disciples had organized themselves for readings of Chaitanya Charitamrita with the idea that this is what it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to study this and cultivate feelings for Krishna in Vrindavan, and even making comments to the extent that, well, Bhagavad Gita, that's very primary, that's a bit lower. This was brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention. He became furious, and he called the leader of that group and said, "Why are you doing this?" And he was surprised. He thought, "Well, we're just reading your books, Srila Prabhupada." And Srila Prabhupada said that you're not eligible for everything in my books. If I have time, I'll get back to discussing that incident more. So Srila Prabhupada, he became very angry with this, that why are they trying to concentrate on studying these pastimes? He said this will destroy the preaching. So I suggest, or I intuit, that Srila Prabhupada's very strong reaction to this premature attempt to enter into the topics of Gopi Bhav, that shaped the mood within ISKCON that anything slightly smelling the sweet smell of Gopi Bhav is sahajayaism. That if one even starts to think about that or discuss it, that should be taboo. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees in the Gopi Bhava Club incident, first deserve and then desire. They said, well, we're just trying to cultivate a desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, first deserve and then desire. But notably, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't say, never deserve and never desire. And within his writings, Srila Prabhupada went on to give hints of how one can cultivate feelings of Krishna consciousness at the highest level. In one of the last purports he dictated in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a description of Mother Yashoda given by Shukdev Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada writes, or he dictated, that devotees aspiring to follow Mother Yashoda in Vatsalya Ras, they can meditate on this description of the of Mother Yashoda, her form and her beauty. However, it is a fact that Srila Prabhupada definitely emphasized very much the following of rules and regulations, and especially if we see his letters. Again and again and again in his letters to newly initiated devotees, to top leaders, even to top leaders, big managers within his movement, again and again and again, he emphasized following the basic principles, rising early for Mangal Arati, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, attending the classes, studying his books, going out on Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this again and again and again and again. But we shouldn't think that, well, Srila Prabhupada just wanted to keep us at some lower level. That's called Vaidhi Bhakti, following Vidhi, the rule. It must be done. Whereas Raganuga Bhakti, the topic I'm to speak on is Raganuga Bhakti. I didn't define it. Raganuga Bhakti, Raga means feelings. Anuga means to be a follower or to follow. So Raganuga Bhakti means to cultivate devotion in the spirit of following devotees who are Ragatnika, who really have those feelings. So it's following those devotees who have those feelings with the intention of developing such feelings oneself. So within Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translated as the nectar of devotion, there is a distinction between Vaidhi Bhakti, in which one's performance of devotional service is based on following rules, and Raganuga Bhakti, in which rules may also be followed, but there is an awakening of desire to serve Krishna spontaneously. Whereas Vaidhi Bhakti is performed out of feeling of duty to follow the scriptures, a feeling of fear that if I don't follow, I'm going to get into trouble. So we may, it's stated that Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha and Raganuga Bhakti leads to Vrindavan. So we may think, well, if I go on following the rules, then I'm only going to go to Vaikuntha. I want to go to Vrindavan. We may think like that. And we may think that in order to go to Vrindavan, I've got to stop following the rules and just start acting spontaneously, whatever that means. Because if it's if you think I have to act spontaneously, then it's not spontaneous. I'm just interspersing some of my own comments here. I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada. Neophyte devotees who are trained under rules and regulations are called Vidhi Marg. When by execution of Vidhi Marg one comes to spontaneous service of the Lord, that is called Raga Marg. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that following the rules, that is to help us to come to the spontaneous platform. Not that the following the rules, they keep us forever straitjacketed, but the rules are required to come to the level of, well, let me quote Srila Prabhupada. Through Vidhi Bhakti, you have to come to the stage of Raga Bhakti. In other words, the rules as given by Srila Prabhupada, as given by Rupa Goswami, they are meant to help us come to the level of Raga Bhakti, devotion performed with mature feeling. I'm going to read again from Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, one has to render service strictly according to the regulated principles set forth by the revealed scriptures and the spiritual master. By continuously rendering service through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one's natural inclination is gradually awakened. That is called spontaneous attraction or Raganuga Bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada says, you follow the rules, and by following the rules of devotional service, a feeling for Krishna will arise. It'll gradually, feelings for wanting to do it will arise. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada, without Vidhi Bhakti, you cannot reach to the platform of Raga Bhakti, although that is our aim. You see here, Srila Prabhupada clearly says Raga Bhakti is our aim. So you may say, okay, then no rules. But Srila Prabhupada says, without Vidhi Bhakti, you cannot reach to the platform of Raga Bhakti. Raga Nuga Raga Bhakti is executed following the footprints of devotees in Vrindavan. That is called Para Bhakti. That Para Bhakti is required. So this Krishna consciousness movement is gradually developing up to the stage of Raga Bhakti or Para Bhakti. This is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. So devotees within ISKCON are often confused about all this rules. How is this following the rules and then Raganuga Bhakti? How does following the rules within ISKCON, how does that lead to Raganuga Bhakti? There are statements, for instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 17, that Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha and Raganuga Bhakti leads to Rajavas, residence in Vrindavan, where Vrindavan means serving Radha Krishna in loving intimacy. One time when Srila Prabhupada spoke about this, about Vidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti, he spoke as if they're two, well, I'll read what he said. Those devotees who are following the Vaidhi Marg are meant for going to the Vaikuntha planets, and those who are following the Raga Marg are going to Krishna Loka. Generally, the followers of Lord Chaitanya go to Goloka Vrindavan. There is no difference between the Vaikuntha planets and Krishna Loka. It is a matter of personal taste only. Now, this might seem confusing because Srila Prabhupada counted himself among the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose goal is Goloka Vrindavan. Yet he also always stressed the need to follow the rules and regulations and not to prematurely try to jump into Raganuga Bhakti. And he warned that the premature attempt to do so would qualify one as a Sahajiya. So it might seem confusing because on the one hand, Srila Prabhupada said to follow the rules and he warned against trying to go to Raganuga Bhakti without being properly qualified. But on the other hand, he's saying that Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha. But he's saying our aim is Raga Bhakti. So where does this all work out? Well, I'll read again from Srila Prabhupada. The bhakti process, as performed under the regulative principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, or devotional service, following the prescribed rules and regulations, is defined by the revealed scriptures and confirmed by great acharyas. This practice can help the neophyte devotee to rise to the stage of Raga Bhakti. There are two stages of bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti. Raga Bhakti means spontaneous. There's no question of pushing one. You do this, you do this. Automatically, he becomes so much attached to a devotional service that he automatically does. Now, this word automatically was used by Srila Prabhupada repeatedly when discussing the development of eligibility for entering Raganuga Bhakti, that if you follow the rules and regulations, automatically there will arise a desire to serve Krishna, not just because it's a rule to do so, but one has the feeling to do so. And then, continuing reading from Srila Prabhupada, you cannot have Raga Bhakti immediately unless you perform Vaidhi Bhakti. Yeah, I'll skip somewhat. It's trying to cram everything into 1 hour. It's my essay is 28 pages, and I'm on page 1, 2, 3, 4. So I don't know how far I'll get with this. Srila Prabhupada, again, even mechanically following, we may say, I'm just mechanically, Hare Krishna, following. Even mechanically following, if he gets gradual understanding from the class, he will come to the point of spontaneous enthusiasm. This spontaneous, loving, devotional service is not so easy, but if one simply sticks strictly to the rules and regulations, like rising early, chanting 16 rounds, chanting Gayatri, keeping always clean, then his enthusiasm will grow more and more. And if there is also patience and determination, one day he will come to the platform of spontaneous devotion. Then his life will be perfect. All of this I have told you in the Nectar of Devotion. So I'll make a little reading from the Nectar. Everything okay? I'll make a little reading from the Nectar of Devotion. In this regard, Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principle, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arati, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arati, but then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. In other words, Srila Prabhupada is saying that by following the rules and regulations, one will get a feeling for serving Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada equates the beginning of Raga Anuga Bhakti with the desire to serve Krishna, not just because it's a rule, but worshipping the deities. What kind of nice food can I offer to Krishna? How nicely can I dress Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada, he connects that to Raganuga Bhakti, which might not seem to exactly fit if we look at previous acharyas. And if, as I say, you would have to, it would be a great study to see the link. Okay, I'm going to skip a lot of stuff here because I can't read it all. Oh, maybe I'll just skip a whole bunch because there's limited time. I'm just going page after page after page. Okay, I'm just jumping four pages and giving a quote from Shivaram Swami in his Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. That book is available in Russian. I'm pretty sure that's available in Russian. And within that book, Shivaram Maharaj, who to all appearances, he's got it. He has a feeling for the service of Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, how could he write so many books on this topic? So in that book, he's written about how by serving the within ISKCON, the process given by Srila Prabhupada, one becomes eligible for entrance into these higher topics, and one can very carefully and soberly enter into Raganuga Bhakti. So he summarized the whole matter in this way. ISKCON's members should neither reject the path of Raja Bhakti nor take it up prematurely. Unless they genuinely desire Vaikuntha Bhakti, their patient fidelity to the regulative principles of devotional service will, in good time, mature into the spontaneous service of the Vrajavasis. Some other topics I have written on. I've written on means it's all based around quotes from Srila Prabhupada, because it is, after all, Srila Prabhupada on Raganuga Bhakti, not Bhakti Vikaswami on Raganuga Bhakti. One point that Srila Prabhupada stressed again and again and again is that confidential topics are not for widespread discussion. When he was asked about this in 1969, I believe it was, by the editors of Back to Godhead about having Gopi Leela in Back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada used the word boycott. We're not going to boycott the gopis. There are worshipable gopis. But at the same time, very intimate things such as the kissing of Krishna and the gopis, that's not meant for Back to Godhead magazine. Srila Prabhupada himself was very cautious in this regard. Even though there's a huge body of Gaudiya literature on rasika topics, describing the intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, which no doubt Srila Prabhupada, he had a great taste for that. But he hardly spoke on that. He didn't speak what others might have liked to hear and what no doubt he himself would have liked to discuss, as much as what he perceived his target audience needed to hear. He didn't celebrate the appearance of Radha Kund. He didn't teach his disciples to do so also. That doesn't necessarily mean that it shouldn't be celebrated, but I'm just making the point that Srila Prabhupada didn't do so. Even on Radhashtami, Srila Prabhupada hardly spoke about Radha Tattva and nothing at all about Radha Leela. Occasionally, he'd say something about Radha's pastimes. Only rarely did he speak about Raganuga Bhakti, and even the word prem, he would speak more about surrendering to Krishna, fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rather than speaking a lot about prem. He repeatedly taught that we are not the bodies, and he repeatedly stressed the need for us to surrender for preaching, book distribution, varnashram, dharma. When he was asked what he considered to be the most important among his writings, Srila Prabhupada referred to the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, in which there are a series of famous verses. When he was asked about his favorite bhajan among the many, many thousands of Gaudiya bhajans, Srila Prabhupada said his favorite is the song of Narottam Das, which begins, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gawainu, which is what we might call a basic song, which he often quoted in preaching. However, we shouldn't think that Srila Prabhupada, his level of discourse wasn't high. He explained that for pure devotees, the nectar of philosophical discussions is equal to kissing Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote, without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's rasa dance and music. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of the profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the rasa dances. There is no mundane distinction between the two. Another point which we should make is that Srila Prabhupada's disciples, most of them, it seems, or many of them, were struggling even to follow the basic regulative principles. Many of them fell away from the following the four regulative principles, even in Srila Prabhupada's presence. And Srila Prabhupada, again and again, had to negotiate situations in which disciples, even some of his trusted leaders, fell from even the basic standards of human behavior. So Srila Prabhupada, he was, on the one hand, he was pointing devotees up to the highest level and giving them the means to do so. At the same time, he was dealing with the reality that apart from following the rules and regulations for going to Goloka Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Lila, his disciples needed to follow the rules and regulations just to remain on the basic path of Krishna consciousness. It was a major problem for Srila Prabhupada to deal with. When one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about the question, understanding that each individual soul has a certain particular rasa with Krishna, how would one relate with another soul of a different rasa? Srila Prabhupada said, these topics are not to be discussed in the conditioned stage. When we come to the liberated stage, we can understand. These are useless talks in the preliminary stage. Srila Prabhupada said that even when we're in the preliminary stage, even to discuss such things is useless for us. Statements like this might make us think that Srila Prabhupada had, and sometimes devotees, not ISKCON devotees, they think that Srila Prabhupada closed the door on Vraja Leela, but it's by no means true. Srila Prabhupada opened the door for us, but he directed us very cautiously how to go through that door. And although I said this isn't in my essay, but if we see the history, how topics of Gopi Leela, Vraja Leela had come to be misused within the Gauriya tradition, so much so that it had become corrupted to a large degree, and how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to struggle against the misrepresentation and misunderstanding of Gopi Leelas, which had practically overtaken the whole Gauriya Sampradaya. We can understand something about why Srila Prabhupada was very cautious. In the Gopi Bhava Club incident, he said that you're talking about all these high things, but in the meantime, you go off and impregnate some woman, and then she has an abortion. Srila Prabhupada was, on the one hand, that his disciples are talking about Gopi Leela. On the other hand, he's getting reports of disciples having illicit sex and then having an abortion and all these things. So, oh, there are many points. I'm supposed to wind it up in an hour and then go for questions. Let's just see if... okay. So Srila Prabhupada, he always stressed, follow the core teachings. All perfection will come, especially by preaching. Now, this is a very important topic, Srila Prabhupada. He cast ISKCON largely as a Goshyanandi movement, that the members, it's meant for preaching, it's meant to be a preaching movement, and that by preaching, one will attain the highest level. by following the order of the spiritual master. I'll read a little quote. If a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Varni or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. If one sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. Work now, samadhi later, was one of Srila Prabhupada's sayings. It's a little bit sarcastic, you might say, because samadhi is generally understood to mean the attainment of the yogis who, the non-devotional yogis, the Ashtanga yoga process. So Srila Prabhupada, he coined this term, work now, samadhi later. Little bit sarcastic, because you could say that, well, trying to get Gopi Leela without going through the whole process, it's like trying to get samadhi. It's not such an, to go through the Ashtanga yoga process and get samadhi. It's a very difficult process. So Srila Prabhupada recommended work hard for Krishna, but at the same time, he wrote in one of his last purports, how we can get samadhi now in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wrote, by fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Everything will be revealed. I'm skipping through. Atashri Krishna namadhi nabhaved grahyam indriyai sivun mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spiratyada. A verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted, that by serving Krishna in a mood of service, beginning with the tongue, Krishna, who is not available to the mundane senses, reveals himself to one who serves him with a service mood. Everything will be revealed, was one of Srila Prabhupada's often quoted sayings. Again, quoting Srila Prabhupada, it is not that in one day we will all become Paramahamsas. That is not possible. Don't try to imitate, but follow the rules and regulations with a vow that in this life I shall go back to Godhead with determination. Then Krishna will give you intelligence. Don't try to see Krishna. Just get Krishna to see you. Try to get his attention by serving him under the orders of the spiritual master. Daily we sing to Srila Prabhupada in the Guru Puja, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. The lotus feet of the Guru are the abode of pure devotional service. We sing this daily to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Prapti Hoi Jaha Hoite. By him, the Guru, Krishna has obtained Sri Guru Charane Rati Eishe Uttamagati. Attachment to his lotus feet is itself the highest attainment, the highest goal. Jai Prashade Pure Sarva Asha. By his mercy, all desires for spiritual perfection are fulfilled. Prema Bhakti Jaha Hoite. From him, Prema Bhakti is obtained. Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adhama Janara Bandhu. He is the friend of the fallen souls. This is particularly applicable in the case of Srila Prabhupada. There are many Gauriya gurus, but Srila Prabhupada especially ministered to the fallen souls. Skipping through. Well, it's almost an hour, so naturally I couldn't cover everything. Vrindavan mood, I wrote about that, how Srila Prabhupada says the Vrindavan mood is the mood of service to Krishna. Krishna is not loitering in Loi Bazaar. Srila Prabhupada's teachings on Nirjan Bhajan. What else have we got? Following in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. I wrote about that. Basically, I'm quoting Srila Prabhupada. Again, in the matter of following in the footsteps of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada wrote, Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. In other words, follow Vaidhi Bhakti. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regulated principles. This stage is called Raga Bhakti or devotional service in spontaneous love. At that stage, this devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. When he was asked about following in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, it's not artificial. Do not try it at present. It will automatically be revealed to you in due course of time. So, Hare Krishna, there's 1 hour. I've spoken on this.
That's Karabhajana Das, is it? Karabhajana looks like Dhanadas Swami. Is it?
Yes, Maharaj Karabhajana Prabhu, a senior devotee from Central Asia. He's one of the leaders there.
I thought it was Dhanadas Swami. He looks very similar.
Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj is here to start the questions and answer session with you, Maharaj.
Yeah,
thank you very much for this presentation.
Is that Annie wrote it there? Is it? No. Okay, please. I'll do my best.
Maharaj, thank you very much for your presentation. And you stressed several times, and you even finished the lecture by stressing the same point, is that everything is supposed to come on its own, according to Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, we know that Raganuga is called sadhana. It is spontaneous devotion, yes, true. But the technical Sanskrit term is sadhana, and sadhana means intentional endeavors, which implies that you have to endeavor, whereas the concept of something is coming on its own is quite opposite to the notion of sadhana. So, and a related topic to this is that, yes, Prabhupada was preaching for 11 years. He was mostly dealing with people who are struggling to follow, four regulative principles. I don't say that this problem is completely solved now.
Oh, I don't.
But nevertheless, devotees have been there, for 20, 30, 40, some 50 years. Obviously, the following four regulative principles is not on the top of their agenda if they're still devotees, practicing devotees. We don't see, still how it will manifest, how it is supposed to manifest, because it seems like that the situation personality-wise is different now. So there's two sides of the same basically question. One, Raganuga sadhana is sadhana, and sadhana means intentional endeavor. So it doesn't imply that it just falls on you all of a sudden, it more or less implies the systematic endeavors in this direction. And second, you know, how practically it manifests, and if you can give some examples, so, you know, how it is supposed to happen, or well, how it is yeah. happening.
My talk has been on what Srila Prabhupada taught us. Among the teachings of Srila Prabhupada is that when one reaches a certain level, he should reside in Vrindavan and study the books of the previous acharyas, like Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava. He mentions this in Chaitanya. It's actually a translation from the purport of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's Anubhashita Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he gave the clue there. He also said that all the Vedic literature, including especially the works of the Vaishnavas, should be translated in all the languages and distributed all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read the books of the previous acharyas, within which we find a description of Raga Nuga Sadhana, which you know very well, with the in which one is, for instance, we find in Jiva Dharma of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is not directly Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but then again, he taught us to go there, of how two devotees, what were their name? Rajanath and Vijay Kumar, they, from the very beginning of their Krishna consciousness, they were not, well, one of them especially, he was, I can't remember which one. So from the very beginning, practically, they're told of their, or rather they're asked by their guru, what do you feel like? How are you attracted to Krishna? In what mood are you attracted to Krishna? And then on the basis of that, they're given meditation on their specific name, form, qualities, dress, service, residence, and so on. So that is Raga Anuga Sadhana. That is described in the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, based on the which Jiva Dharma, practically it's a synopsis of many of the important instructions of many of the previous works in Sanskrit of the Goswamis. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stated that when one comes to this stage, the role of the guru is simply to assist the candidate along the path, because it becomes revealed, and then the guru simply assists in that. So it seems to be a different approach. One approach is saying Srila Prabhupada very much he very much stressed the. It comes automatically to you. Oh, and by the way, coming automatically, everything comes from the holy name. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hare Krishna, Krishna Nama Mahamantra Etho Shabhav Jai Jape Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, feelings for Krishna arise. Srila Prabhupada also quoted from Chaitanya Bhagavat, in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, kahilam e maha mantra eha jape giya shabe kariya nebanda eha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shabha. From this chanting of the holy name, sarva siddhi, all success will come. Then again, we have in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the, what is that? So, sadhya sadhana, you're using the word sadhana. Sadhya sadhana tattva jai kichu shakal harinam shankirtane milibe shakal. Everything, all topics of sadhya and sadhana, they come together in the chanting of the holy names. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't any other sadhana, but the holy name carries us all the way through. from the beginning stages, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, right up to Asleshava Padaratang. We see that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his final song of Sharanagati, in which he speaks about the holy name, how it takes his heart, takes him, steals his heart, and brings him to Vrindavan. And at the end of the whole Sharanagati series of songs, in which he relates how in his transcendental emotions he feels himself to be struggling with the mind and senses, how the very last words, how it's just practically the beginning with the holy name takes him to Vrindavan. And that's the beginning of his Tabe Mar Bhagya Udai. What is it? So the holy name, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur stressed so much the holy name. The holy name gives us everything. Exactly what happens, it may be different in different cases. We see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives the process of being told what is one's form in Vrindavan. On the other hand, we don't find among the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that they very much propagated that, although definitely some were on the very highest level. For instance, Krishnadas Akinchan, we called him Akinchan, Krishnadas Babaji, clearly on the highest level of devotional service, his sadhana was simply chanting all day. What were his thoughts as he was chanting? What was his meditation? That we don't know, but we don't have any record of him being, of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur telling him directly, personally, to follow any other sadhana except chanting the holy name. So it seems that automatically Srila Prabhupada used this term, and if we go on, we'll find out. That seems to be Srila Prabhupada's approach. Ask Shivaram Swami. He very much seems to be there, you can say. And he's, like I say, he outlined it in that book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, how by acting, serving in ISKCON, performing your service, then gradually he mentions how studying and singing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then a feeling for that kind of devotional service arises, and that is verified by the spiritual master. It seems to be a very private process. When we're ready, we'll know, and the mercy will come down from above. In the meantime, apana bhajana kata na kahibo jata tata. We shouldn't broadcast here and there what's going on in our hearts, these feelings. That's, of course, from Narottam Das, who himself, he actually did, didn't he? He opened his heart to a large extent in his songs. But at the same time, he said that it's not for public discussion. So maybe his songs are not, some of the topics, they're not meant for everyone. As Srila Prabhupada said in relation to the discussion of certain parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe you should ask Shivaram Swami that question.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Again, the point that we needn't be too eager or be in anxiety. When we're ready, it will happen. We should have that faith that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by the mercy of all the acharyas, it will happen. We're not going to be cheated. We don't have to ourselves attempt for that. Everything will be revealed in due course of time, as Srila Prabhupada often said.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
Yeah, thank you so much, Maharaj. We have several questions that have been sent to our chat. And if you allow, I will translate them for you one after another. And the first question is from Doyal Nitai Prabhu. He is asking about devotees who publicly speak on Radha Tattva. But how do we understand if the devotee speaking on such topics has actually attained the level of Radha that is mandatory for someone to speak on that topic? And also, one should also take into account the spiritual level of his audience before discussing these topics publicly, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed it with very confidential devotees and not with everyone else. So that's the question: how do we know if a person who speaks on Radha Tattva, drawing upon the availability of such texts, is actually qualified to do so?
Well, Radha Tattva is one thing, and Radha Leela is maybe something else. I have a quote. I'm trying to find it, in which Srila Prabhupada discusses this exactly this point. I don't have my laptop. It'd be easier if I could find it.
Maharaj, do you remember a key word? I can search for you. If you remember a key word or a reference for that quote. I have your paper in front of me. I can search for the quote.
Well, I'm looking in my paper also. Oh, you have it in the laptop?
Yeah, laptop.
Yeah, here's one quote. Radha Krishna pastime should not be discussed at the present time. But I'm looking for another. No, I actually can't remember exactly. But Srila Prabhupada, it's in an early lecture in 1968, I believe it is, or 1969, in which Srila Prabhupada says, we can discuss such topics. But he did so. No, I can't find it. It'd be good if I could find it.
If it's 1968 or 69, then I can search for the
or 69, in which Srila Prabhupada says that we can discuss such topics.
Can or cannot, Maharaj?
Can.
Okay, we can.
We have to see exactly what. Yeah.
There is a quote from Srila Prabhupada's lecture on the 15th of November, where he says, if you want to enter into the Rasa Lila, if you desire like that, so you love Krishna that way as the gopis, then you'll have, it's on page 20 at the bottom of your paper. Well, actually, no, because we have translated the question, the quote, so the pagination has been rearranged. Here it is, Maharaj. It looks like that's the quote that you're looking for. Krishna, when he wants to enjoy, he expands his pleasure potency, which is rather higher topics, cautiously allowed. Is it the one?
Yeah, I believe that's it, yeah.
That's page 32 for our translator. Vrajaranda Prabhu, it's page 32 or 33. And in your paper, Maharaj, it's under the title, Cautiously allowed. Yes. Do you want me to send the quote, the English quote, to the chat?
Well, you can just read it yourself. It's not a very long one.
Yeah. Shall I read it in English or in Russian?
Yes,
I can read it in English.
Please read it in English.
That's in, you say in your paper, as early as 1968, Srila Prabhupada acknowledged the quote-unquote higher topics, that higher topics could be discussed even among less developed devotees. And then the quote.
Right, I got it. Okay, I'll
read it. You got it. Yes, Maharaj.
Krishna, this is from a talk Srila Prabhupada gave in 1968. I was looking at the beginning of the papers, right at the end. Krishna, when he wants to enjoy, he expands his pleasure potency, which is Radharani. Now, one Krishna becomes two, Krishna and his pleasure potency. And that pleasure potency, when unites with Krishna, that is Chaitanya. Krishna becomes two, Radharani and Krishna. Krishna cannot enjoy anything material because he is full in himself. Therefore, if he has to enjoy something, then that enjoyable personality must be expanded from him only. So that is Radharani. And when that enjoyable personality again takes into one, that is Chaitanya. These things you'll understand as you develop Krishna consciousness in higher development stage, but we can discuss, Srila Prabhupada said, this is the fact. So Radha Tattva, we're talking about Radha Tattva, this is, Srila Prabhupada says, we can discuss. So it's not necessarily that it can't be discussed, but as I said, this title of this section is called Confidential Higher Topics Cautiously Allowed, with caution. He didn't ban, quote unquote, higher topics, even among less developed devotees. So it's not that it's totally banned. I mentioned this in 1969, right after this in the paper. In 1969, when conversing with BTG editors, Srila Prabhupada allowed that article mentioning the gopis could be featured if proper precautions were taken. The policy should be that the people may not misunderstand that the gopis are like ordinary girls. You should be careful to present the gopis. It does not mean that we shall not utter even the names of the gopis. We have taken a vow to boycott the gopis. No, they are our worshipable devotees. How can we avoid them? So there is a tension between, on the one hand, we want to present to the world this highest theism of Radha Krishna Lila. We want to present this. And we also, it's not that we want within our society ISKCON that no talk of the gopis, no talk of Radha Krishna. That's what we want to come to. If we close it up too much and say, no, 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 that's only for the very, only at the very highest level, we may forget that we're supposed to be aiming at the highest level. So it requires to, definitely Srila Prabhupada mostly spoke about the opulence of Krishna as presented in Bhagavad Gita, the need to follow the rules and regulations, all these things. But at the same time, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this Krishna conscious movement is meant for approaching Radha Krishna and associating with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. So there's a tension there between, on the one hand, that's where we have to go. On the other hand, we're down here somewhere, but we have to go up. So these topics, they should be not completely put away, but at the same time, our basic discussions have to be basic. And at the same time, keep it alive in our own hearts and among the devotees, where we're aiming for. And even in theological discussions, or you may say interfaith discussions, this is what we are presenting, is the fully manifest understanding, full theism, fullest understanding of the English word God, Bog, I think you say in Russian. It's not just someone who's sitting there and throwing thunderbolts and punishing people and granting you so you can live happily in heaven, enjoying sense gratification. He is the supreme lovable person. The highest principle is love. And the highest love is in God himself. And that Srila Prabhupada writes about this in the first verse of Bhagavatam, in the purport. He speaks about the Adi Rasa, that the feelings of love that we have in this world, even the sexual feelings, they originate in God himself. So this is actually, it's a theological point also, which should be presented. It's quite a delicate topic, and I suppose different devotees will take it up differently in different ways. One of the first things I noticed when I first started going to Russia, in fact, I went there first of all with Prabhu Vishnu Swami, when was that, 1980, what was it, 1986 or 1989, I can't remember. We did notice immediately how there was a very strong desire among the devotees there for discussing very high topics, you could say. That's quite strong there in Russia. It was at the time anyway. And he joked because we were, I shouldn't tell you this. You might get upset. It's a joke. When we were flying from Leningrad to London, because we were based in Bangladesh, and he joked that all the Bengali Sahajiyas got born again in Russia. Sorry, he said it. I didn't say it. It may be. There are so many devotees in Russia, and they may have come out of that kind of background. But now we should take the proper direction from Srila Prabhupada and go step by step.
It's a good joke, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Now we'll let Rajendra Kumar Prabhu, a senior leader from Russia, to ask his question in English directly. Rajendra Kumar Prabhu, пожалуйста.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Благословенный Хамил Абейсенсис. Long ago, I have heard from one Gaudiya Math devotee the concept of a so-called Raganuga Shraddha, which meant that if you are lucky enough and if you meet some really, you know, Raganuga Bhakta, you can skip the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti and immediately start to practice Raganuga Sadhana. So I wonder where this concept of Raganuga Shraddha came from. Is it mentioned in our texts or books of our previous acharyas, or do you know any origin of that, or is it just a bogus idea altogether?
Bhaktivigyan Goswami could probably answer that better than I could. He studied, as far as I know, he studied so many things. One thing, I hope this comment won't be taken as cynical, but it does seem to me that we do find many devotees who talk a lot about highest levels, and if you go to this Swami, you'll automatically go up to the highest level. But do we actually see them getting up there, or is it just talk? We have to see that Bhakti Pareshanu Bhava Viraktir Anyatra. It's relatively easy to talk about the highest level, but that should be manifest. One should have the symptoms of not being interested in anything else. Acting like a malecha and talking about the highest levels, that's called Sahajiya Bhav. So I'm a little skeptical about all this stuff about you just meet someone who's advertised to be on the highest level and automatically you go zipping through. Then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give all these rules and regulations via Rupa Goswami? I'm not aware of any such thing. Theoretically, that's possible. But the general process is that we have to follow all the rules and regulations, follow the process as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took time out. He didn't spend all his time discussing only Gopi Bhav. He spent days instructing Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami on several of the, what we may call the basic topics, so that devotees can come up gradually to that level. Goswami okay. Maharaj, do you want to say something more about that?
Okay, thank you very much.
I think that this concept of Raganuga, definitely this expression or phrase Raganuga Shraddha, I never heard before. But the concept, I think, is that you get the the transmission of the taste, the lobha. You know, that's, I think, what is meant here. that you hear somebody who has lobha and you develop certain lobha. But at the same time also, it's very clearly said by Jiva Goswami and other acharyas that this phenomenon can only happen after the level of nishta, on the level of ruchi. Then only you are basically ready to develop, you know, this sort of lobha. Otherwise, this lobha will be just mental, more or less mental idea, and it will be mixed with all kinds of unwanted desires and unwanted activities. So if we consider it like this, that on the level of ruchi, you're eligible to develop this sort of, you know, shraddha or lobha or qualification for raganuga sadhana, then it all fits together, because you should first follow the rules and regulations till you reach the level of nishta, and after level of nishta, you're fit to develop genuine desire for higher topics, not just mental ideas, which can only make you proud. That's what I would say to comment to this.
Thank you very much, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj and Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, for your addition. The next question is from, just a second, yes, next question is from Ishana Prabhu. Ishana Prabhu is a senior leader from South Russia. He says that, speaking with one devotee from the Gaudiya Math, he heard an opinion from them that Raga Mark can actually be a level of devotional development following the level of Vaidhi Marga. But also, Raga Mark exists as a parallel path, which could be practiced from the very beginning if one gets the mercy of an exalted Rasika Vaishnava. I guess it's the same question as was asked by...
This is, when you say Gaudiya Math, this is not coming from Bhaktisthan Saraswati. This is coming from the Babajis who he opposed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but that seemed to be...
The Gaudiya Math people who are preaching this, they didn't get it from Bhaktisthan Saraswati. They got it from the Babajis. This wasn't in his line of teaching.
Can we go to the next question, Maharaj?
Yeah.
Then Pavana Prabhu, another leader from Central Russia, says that they had a discussion with Keshava Maharaj recently, with Keshava Maharaj and one preacher in ISKCON. And that preacher...
Who's Keshava Maharaj? Could you please tell me?
Bhakti Bhagavatamrita Keshava Maharaj is a sannyasi in ISKCON. He is a disciple of Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj.
I'm here, Maharaj. Please could send my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
These arguments one preacher.
Yes, Keshava Maharaj, maybe you'd like to ask these questions to Maharaj directly, because it came from Pavana Prabhu, but I believe it was a conversation between you, him, and that preacher who put forward those arguments. Shall I translate them for Maharaj myself, or do you want to do it, Keshava Maharaj?
Нет, переведи, пожалуйста.
So that our preacher that they had a conversation with put forward three or several arguments, and they wanted to summarize them for you so you could comment on them to clarify our position. Number one is that one should go, once having studied Srila Prabhupada's books, one should or must go to the books of other acharyas to continue his spiritual advancement. So one must study the books of the acharyas. It's not an option. And, can I do it piecemeal, Maharaj, so you could comment on the first question, then I'll go to the other one? Or shall I put them all three for you?
Well, I can reply to that one right away, that
yes, Maharaj,
whoever this preacher may be, I'd prefer to accept the authority of Srila Prabhupada, who said that everything we need for our advancement in Krishna consciousness is in his books. So within his books, he also said we could go to the other books. But There's a lot to digest in Srila Prabhupada. You say you just read it once. What is it, like going to some school and then you cram everything and then you get your diploma and then you go on to, then you, okay, I read it, finished. Have you finished reading Bhagavad Gita? Have you finished reading it? There's so much in Srila Prabhupada's books. Even the Bhagavatam, I mean, the Bhagavatam is accepted by all Gauriyas as the basic book of the Sampradaya. Actually, the books that Srila Prabhupada gave, he emphasized Gita, which is the philosophical basis of everything, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We understand Bhagavatam through Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada gave us an introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, the life and teachings in summary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the nature of devotion. So these are the basic books of our Sampradaya. And there's a whole ocean there. So certainly we can, there's no bar to going to other books, but it's not like you're lacking something if you only study Srila Prabhupada's books. There's everything is there for going back to Godhead, for becoming completely perfect in Krishna consciousness. How many books can you read anyway? Srila Prabhupada's books in themselves, there's so much there. He also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also warns about, what is that? Bahu Grantha Kalabhyas, just reading many bits and pieces of so many books. So this idea that I read so many books and therefore I'm more advanced than you, and you ISKCON devotees, you're nowhere because you haven't read as many books as us. Like Maharaj Goswami Maharaj says, there seems to be some bit of pride there, but I... One thing with Srila Prabhupada also, apart from the philosophy and the teachings he gave, his very personality just radiated Krishna consciousness to such an extent that so many people were convinced that they had to surrender their life just by seeing him or even hearing about him or just by being seen by him. He radiated Krishna consciousness. Prema bhakti jaha hoite. You can talk so many things, but Srila Prabhupada was the real thing. Otherwise, it's not just by reading books that you're going to come to that highest level. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. That's one of my favorite quotes from Srila Prabhupada's books, which he puts in the preface of the Nectar of Instruction. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So if you think, I'm so advanced and I read so many books, I don't know what the attitude of that devotee was who said that to you, but I don't know. I'm very suspicious when someone comes along and with the attitude that we've got something you haven't got. You've only got Prabhupada. We know more.
Thank you, Maharaj. May I ask the next question?
Yeah.
The next question is, the assertion by that preacher is that there are some natural proclivities of different devotees and someone is inclined to go from Vaidhi Sadhana to Bhava and then he develops that spontaneous attachment, but others start immediately from the very beginning walking down the path of Raganuga Bhakti. So Raganuga Bhakti is presented by this particular preacher as a separate process and not as an integral part of the process of sadhana bhakti.
Okay, you do it. You're so advanced, you do it. But it's not something that you can just go and go around and preach about. If you're so fortunate that you're on the path of you have that spontaneous attraction, very good. But it's not that just by going and preaching it to everyone that people are just going, oh, I'm on Raganuga Bhakti. It just doesn't work like that. Unrealistic. This is unrealistic. mental bananas, Monair Kola. Bhaktivedanta Thakur spoke about mental bananas.
The third question, if I may ask, Maharaj, is that, again, that devotee...
Okay, let me read out something else. Let me read out something else.
From your paper, Maharaj, right?
Yeah. This is called Book Distribution and... Actually, there are so many things I can quote. But where's this? This is about book distribution. This isn't anecdote told by Shvabash Prabhu, who's in Los Angeles. Where is that?
Maharaj, okay. Book distribution.
Okay, I got it. I found it. This is Shvabash Prabhu relating. On a morning walk, our devotee repeatedly asked Srila Prabhupada questions about the gopis, their love for Krishna, and intimate dealings. It seemed it was a subject matter that Srila Prabhupada did not want to get into very much. At one point, I was filled with so much intensity as to what I could say to Srila Prabhupada, something to show some appreciation for him. I was scared, shy, so many things. But finally I said, Prabhupada! When I said his name, somehow Prabhupada just stopped and looked right at me. I said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm a book distributor in Chicago. We are distributing so many of your books there. Our desire is to really please you by this book distribution in Chicago. Our desire is to somehow or other be able to distribute 100 books each and every day for your satisfaction. And Prabhupada just looked at me. All of a sudden, he broke out into a huge smile. He then said, just see, this is my real disciple. My real disciple is always thinking how to please the spiritual master. And he realizes how to please me is to distribute these books. This is an example of a real devotee. He kept telling me how nice it was that I had this desire and how pleased he was by the book distribution in Chicago. He continued to smile and concluded by saying, thank you very much. So, my faith, this is, you can say it's subjective. If we please Srila Prabhupada, our path is clear. I have faith in him. And he wanted preaching. That's also there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, isn't it? That verse that Srila Prabhupada always quoted. Jare dekho tare, tare koha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hoya tare edesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, speak the message of Krishna gives. In this way, become a guru and deliver the land. The context in which this was spoken is that there was a Kurma Brahmana said, I cannot tolerate staying at home. There's the waves of material life. They're washing over me. I want to go with you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you stay here. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Become a guru, deliver the land. And then the verse comes after that. Kobu nabadibe tomaye bishoy taranga punarapi etai pabe morasanga. Because he said, I want to go with you. This Brahmana said, I want to go with you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, stay here, preach Krishna Upadesh, Bhagavad Gita. And then he said that if you do this, if you follow my order, you will not be overcome by the waves of material nature. And in this very place, you will meet me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again. So what Srila Prabhupada says is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that by preaching Krishna consciousness, we'll meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. That's very practical also, to engage everyone in chanting, basic following, and then gradually everyone can develop. Krishna consciousness has to be preached all over the world. If Srila Prabhupada hadn't come to America, if he hadn't come to Russia, If he just stayed in Vrindavan and done his Nirjan Bhajan, then where would we all be? Someone has to go out and do the work of preaching Krishna consciousness. Even you're saying there are these preachers, they say so many things. Who do they preach to? They're not preaching in the streets about Raganuga Bhakti. They're preaching to people who already know about Krishna consciousness. They come to people who already know and just they want to say, we've got something higher, we've got something better. What is their potency to bring people from meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and bring them into Krishna consciousness? That we have to see also. Anyway, I don't want to run them down too much, but at the same time, it's almost like an attack, isn't it? It's always ongoing. There's always this attack that we're on this higher level and you're all on a lower level. And they often confuse the minds of especially younger devotees, which is one reason why it's also good. Our devotees, they should know something about these topics, which is why we're discussing it.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. We have two more questions left, if you're willing to go on for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Amal Govinda Prabhu from the Ural region, he asks, dear Maharaj, could we consider following the instructions and the mission of close associates of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas, to be
close associates of, sorry?
Of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya, like Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas, to be a form of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which implies following in their footsteps. In other words, if we follow Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Is the question.
One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about following in the footsteps of about this topic of following in the footsteps of a devotee of Vrindavan. And he said, well, we're following you, Prabhupada, and you're a resident of Vrindavan. Prabhupada accepted that.
And the last question is by Antakela Prabhu, who is a leader from Donetsk, that disputed part of Ukraine. How do we properly understand statements by devotees that one should get association and mercy of a guru who serves spontaneously, and only that guru can give the strength to overcome anarthas and continue on to the level of attaining bhava, and a guru who is on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti cannot give such strength, and that's why we can progress.
One important thing is that Srila Prabhupada, he gave everything. Srila Prabhupada gave is on the platform of raga. He didn't just give a set of rules, he gave feeling for Krishna. No one comes to Krishna consciousness just to follow rules, everyone comes because they have a feeling for Krishna, isn't it? Even from the very beginning, we have some feeling for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he cultivated that. This statement that you just made, it's what we have. We have certain characters appear to be very ambitious to promote themselves or to promote their gurus. I am on a higher level than you. I'm on the level of Raga Bhakti, or my guru's on the level of Raga Bhakti. He's better than all of you, and you have to go to him. Only then you can come to the highest level. It's some kind of elitism. But practically speaking, they say only such a guru can help you to overcome anarthas. But then I see that many people who go to these supposedly higher level devotees who say, you have to follow me, then you can come to a higher level. But then they also fall down just as much as everyone else. So practically speaking, where is that? Generally, a devotee on the highest level doesn't advertise he's on the highest level. We can see he's on the highest level by how much he dedicates to helping people to come to Krishna consciousness. And one way we can recognize Srila Prabhupada is on the highest level is that he gave us what we need, what we needed to hear and what we needed to practice. He didn't artificially try to give us things that we couldn't digest. He was very mercifully, very cautious in these matters, as was his guru and were gurus previously. So it's very easy to say this one's on a higher level, you have to follow him. But what we often see is that they say, see, our guru's so advanced and he's got so much mercy that you don't have to follow all the rules because you're just getting all this mercy, and we're on the level of raga bhakti, so we don't need to follow the rules. And that's disastrous for the people they're so-called preaching to, because the people they're preaching to very much need to follow the rules. And what we get is we get talk on a very, very high level. And in the meantime, living on a not a very high level at all, and not even following basic rules in many cases. And they may even take it as some sign of being more advanced that you don't follow even basic rules. So this is very dangerous. This is Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vithing Vina Aikantiki Hara Bhakti Utpate Yaiva Kalpate. It's simply a disturbance in society to promote things which people are not ready for, and to tell them that you've got some special secret key, some special mercy by which they can pole vault into the highest levels. It's a kind of cheating people, actually, if we're to be honest. And we see that people get led, and people are very much prone to be misled by this. But where's the actual advancement? Is it mental or is it real? Then again, we have to come back to the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, denouncing all this so-called highest levels, but not following even basic rules. So that's maybe one reason why this topic is very controversial within ISKCON, because as soon as you start to discuss it, then someone jumps up and says, "Hey, we're already there. We've already got it. You don't need to follow all these things. We'll give it to you automatically." But again, where is that? Is it such an easy thing that you can just jump in? You can just, even Lord Shiva, even Lord Brahma, Brahmara Durlabha Prem, it's not very easy for them to attain. And we'll just, here we are smoking cigarettes and drinking vodka, and all of a sudden we're in Gopi Bhav. It's cheap. Don't make it sahajya. Sahajya means to take things very cheaply. But it is a problem though. And maybe more so in Russia and neighboring countries than other places.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. We have exhausted all questions from our side, and I can hand it over to Bhaktivigyan Maharaj to conclude this session with you. And on behalf of our students, I would like to thank you so much for sharing your valuable insights and realizations and knowledge and fidelity to Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very, very much, Maharaj, for your time and for your wisdom and conviction and faith in Srila Prabhupada. As I said, one of the purposes of this undertaking, Bhaktivedanta University, is to imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada reflected in his followers. And definitely it's a very relevant topic, even though it's controversial, but it's relevant because it's in the mind of certain people. And you gave balanced presentation, definitely very balanced presentation. You gave different sides of the same issue presented by Srila Prabhupada, and hopefully it will increase the conviction. And for me, what is the most important is the conviction that holy name of faith, that holy name can give everything, and then we should not be nervous, but depend on the mercy of the holy name. That's a simple point, but this simple point cannot be overemphasized. It's so important and unfortunately not so common among the devotees. Thank you.
Thank you. Спасибо.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
All those who is divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Ачютана Прабху wanted to say something.
Yes, Ачютана Прабху, our GBC for Russia, wanted to also greet you and express his gratitude to you for sharing your time. But unfortunately, he had another engagement that recently started, so he couldn't stay, but he wanted to convey his deep appreciation of your participation.
Yeah, GBC is a busy people. That's a verbal presentation. Hopefully, before too long, the whole essay will be there in a book. This is, in my printout, it's about 34 pages, but the whole book's going to be about 1,000 pages. So, of course, this topic of Raga Anuga Bhakti, although it's what we're ultimately aiming at, there's so many facets to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, there's so many things. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, for this initiative. It's a very good initiative. I plan to listen to all the talks that are coming out from on this Bhaktivedanta University. But I'm listening to other things now. I want to listen to them all as to help me, actually, apart from my own personal understanding, for compiling this book also about Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and his mission.
Okay. And once your book comes out, Maharaj, we'll look forward to use it as a standard textbook for our Bhaktivedanta University.
Yeah.
That's what we hope to preserve.
I'm writing not just for now, but for future generations also.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you to all your devotees who are carrying on Srila Prabhupada's mission over the decades. Very important preaching field. All you first-class theists, as Srila Prabhupada said. Thank you. It's not easy, no doubt. But serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, that is our life. Hare Krishna.